Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Mark is on his way in here, and unfortunately, the frog is still here in his throat. And he's been getting some suggestions from some of you who are following along on Facebook page, and he says nothing has worked. By the way, if you've not already, go to the Mark Cox Show page on Facebook, because we're interacting with you guys. So if you see a guest coming up and you are interested in that topic, you can send us a note there, comment, and ask a question. What would you like us to ask that person? And we would love to be able to do that for you.
Thank you, Kim, for covering for me. I was out there trying to clear my throat. I think it was probably a piece of that popcorn that Carl Middleman brought us, as opposed to the frog that's been in my throat.
He warned you about eating that popcorn right before you go on the air, Mark.
Oh, I know.
Make sure you have a handful right before
we go. I do appreciate that. I am struggling this morning again. I'm a week into this thing. I've got people telling me that sometimes the course of this is 2 weeks. So I'm on antibiotics, I'm on prednisone, and I still wake up in the morning and sound like,
like
something
that
has attacked.
But let's be optimistic
me by
here.
The throat.
It's given you the ability to do a really good Bill Clinton impersonation.
I can really do my best Bill Clinton right now. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky.
It's spot on.
As he gets older, too, it's raspier, so it's a little easier to try to pull that off for sure. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, there's been all this debate over who's going to be the next St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. The governor has one idea, the county executive has another, and we're going to talk to Attorney Beavis Schock, who's been looking at this and thinks he's got a pretty good handle on who is correct here, and we're going to get to him coming up at about 8:35 this morning. But Carl Middleman, why don't we get to our top stories, and I'll handle the last one.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I feel like I always have had really good perspective on everything that's kind of happened in my life, whether that's been good, whether that's been bad. And then obviously coming to the WNBA, like I've said, I feel like I've earned every single thing that's happened to me over the course of my career.
Poor Caitlin. Caitlin Clark being held hostage by the politically correct nature of the WNBA, where she earns more money than a lot of them already just because of how good she is. But that's not good enough. You have to bow to the altar of political correctness, which it appears she's doing.
There's a reckoning inside the Democratic Party. Kamala Harris promised us freedom. Well, she delivered it to us, because now we're free from having to run anything in Washington, D.C.,
Yeah, you got it. What are you going to do? This is the whole thing. Van Jones and the Democrats don't know what to do next because they don't have a bench. And what are they stuck with? Gavin Newsom?
I'm surprised the way everyone is attempting to state this is a new coming of Eric Adams. I've stated this over and over again.
Yeah, thank you, Eric Adams. This is the deal. He had a meeting this week with Tom Homan, the new incoming border czar, who's really going to truly be a border czar. And he's like, listen, I'm personally going to do what I can to protect the people that live here. He got the message not everybody has.
I've arrested U.S. citizens for harboring an alien in their home or place of employment. If I can do it to a citizen, why can't I do it to a politician who's going to actively get in our way, prevent us from doing our job?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what if you're following this situation in the Francis House School District right now. They had another meeting last night and they talked a little bit about this bathroom policy. And whenever they bring it up, the threat seems to be, if you do that, we will sue you. The crazies out there who think that because their confused child doesn't know what gender they are and they play along with it, they should be able to use whatever bathroom they want. I'm sorry, as a girl dad, that's not a thing. I don't want people with male genitalia in the girl's bathroom. Shouldn't happen. It should be a pretty simple board policy, you would think. But before they change it, They're already facing threats of a lawsuit, right? So you have to wonder if it's having that kind of profound impact on a school board that ran on the, and they've gotten a lot accomplished, don't get me wrong, but they ran on a more conservative footing of what they were going to go in and do, and they have had major impact on curriculum in Francis Howell. That legal threat is enough to give them pause. And I compare that to what's going on with what Tom Homan's talking about there. All of these big cities, New York, L.A., San Francisco, I guess Chicago for that matter, where they've declared themselves a sanctuary city. What if the board members there were under the threat of some sort of a legal action the next time somebody gets hurt by one of these criminal illegal aliens? Why hasn't that been a thing? But they seem to be not worried about that at all. And I think the message from Tom Homan here is you should probably be worried because this is part of the conversation I had with the mayor yesterday, Mayor Adams. Listen to this.
They can sit back and watch us, which, I find incredible. You don't want to take public safety threats out of your community to help us. But there are laws on the books that we will prosecute. It's 18 U.S.C. 111, impeding a federal law enforcement officer, a felony. Title 8 United States Code 1324 III. If you knowingly conceal or harbor an illegal alien from ICE, that is a felony. When I was an agent a long time ago, I've arrested U.S. citizens for harboring an alien in their home or place of employment. Mm. If I can do it to a citizen, why can't I do it to a politician who's going to actively get in our way, prevent us from doing our job?
Yeah.
We could see the Denver mayor jailed.
Yeah.
He said, take me to jail. I'm willing to go. I'm blocking any time you come into this area and try to remove people, I'm going to say no. I'm going to get in your way.
Bring it. It's true. It's very true. You know, speaking of criminal cases, by the way, I just want to update you. If you're just joining us this morning, we've been talking about this all morning. There's been a major break in the case of the Colin Brown murder, the 17 years old from CBC, the hockey player who was murdered. They just had his memorial service the other day. St. Louis police appear to have broken that case, and there are at least two people in custody, sources tell me, that are connected to this. I'm told that it was connected to a drug deal that had gone bad. Shots were fired. One of those shots crossed the interstate into the oncoming traffic and hit that young man in the throat and ended up claiming his life. Just so senseless, the whole thing. It was fantastic police work. Congratulations to the detectives at the St. Louis City Police Department for breaking this thing, because there was a concern that they wouldn't. That they wouldn't find the person responsible for this. If the sources that I'm hearing from are correct, it won't be from the break in this case will not be from the public. Like, it wasn't a tip that tipped them off to this. It was just good old-fashioned follow-up on everything police work that led them to these suspects.
You were saying earlier there was a camera, it sounds like, that may have captured some of this.
Well, Fox 2 is reporting some of that too. They're saying that they're, well, I don't know if it captured the actual shooting, but I have heard that there is some video that they've gotten their hands on. I don't know how that plays into the whole thing, but when we can report more on it, we will. And the St. Louis City Police so far have not confirmed anything. Channel 2 tracked down the chief yesterday, and he didn't have he was very noncommittal on it, but he just said things are moving forward. Listen to Andy Banker.
The police chief won't share details, but confirms the investigation is progressing.
It's moving along. It's moving along. You've seen the reward that's out there to Crime Stoppers. So everything matters, and really, really good work. Our detectives, like on every homicide case, are working day and night, leaving no stone unturned to try to bring this person that did the shooting to justice.
Yeah. So anyway, they are going to bring the shooters to justice. I'm even told the feds are going to be involved in this. So the consequences will be much stiffer than they might have been otherwise if left up to maybe just a jury here in St. Louis and in the city. More details on that as it becomes available. We'll get to that for you coming up. We're also going to talk about, how do you harness control AI? The Terminator might be able to answer that question. We don't seem to be able to answer it yet. And what's the Trump administration going to do about it? We're going to take a look at that with our guest, Phil Siegel, when we come back here in just a minute. Stay tuned. What do you think of when you think of AI, Kim? The fact that it's two words, or what comes to mind?
Yeah, two letters. It means artificial intelligence. Thank you, Kamala Harris.
You can't get away from that. But what do you think of? What I think of is the conversations I have with teachers who struggle. Well, many of them don't struggle. I heard one say yesterday, no, I don't have to guess if a student's using AI because I've seen their writing. And if it suddenly improves that dramatically, either their parents have written it or they've used AI. Like there are ways you can tell when AI is affecting your life. There are other ways you can't because it's incredibly good. The technology is amazing these days. And if we don't harness this somehow, get some kind of control over it, Skynet takes over at some point. I don't know. I'm partially joking there, but it's kind of scary. We've got Phil Siegel with us this morning. He is the founder of CAPTRS, CAPTRS. It's a nonprofit committed to advancing responsible AI practices. And Phil, welcome in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What do you think of when you think of AI? What's the first concern or thought that you have on it?
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the Skynet iRobot problem where it becomes sentient and takes over. I don't think the current technologies that we have, I can't imagine that necessarily happening. What I am worried about is it definitely makes bad actors more efficient in the things they do, just like it makes us more efficient, good actors, in the things that we do. And so I think our attention really needs to focus on how do we make sure that the technology isn't used for bad, much more than worrying about the technology coming after us. Yeah.
So how do you see AI evolving over these next 4 years when Trump is the leader here? What do you see happening?
Yeah, the most interesting thing is about the new administration's indications is it's a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing in that we clearly are headed for less regulation overall. But I think they want to enable smaller business, new innovation and so forth to be, much more at the forefront and making sure that the large tech companies just don't swallow this whole technology advancement. And I think that's probably going to be good, but it also makes it harder to track everything that's going on. And it means that whatever rules we put in place need to be targeted and appropriate both for small companies and large companies.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Elon Musk is in Donald Trump's ear. That's pretty clear. I mean, I think the man is brilliant in many ways. I mean, do you agree with his take on this? Do you even know what it is?
He's gone back and forth. You know, you have the issue, of course, of, you know, he does kind of move between wanting to do what's right for society and so forth, which is his positive side. But then he also, you know, what we say in the financial services industry, talks his book a lot, you know, wanting things that advance what he's doing. And he is developing a competitive technology using the data from X called Grok. And, you know, so we have to, you know, we can't just turn it over to him. The person that Trump has nominated, though I don't think he's going to have to be approved by Congress. I think that's just something he can choose. Is an colleague, an old colleague of Elon Musk's, David Sachs, one of the co-founders of PayPal, along with Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. And so, you know, we are going to be in the hands of very smart people on these technologies, but we've also seen that sometimes smart people make mistakes or they miss things. And so I think, you know, having this be a conversation and making sure that we do involve the political decision makers is important. And yeah. And there are some things that, you know, we can be doing that I think are very simple that I hope they, you know, they put into place pretty quickly.
Like what? Dealing with cryptocurrencies, dealing with AI, what are they?
Yeah, so I think the two areas that they can do very, very quickly, number one is protection of children and the elderly against, you know, bad actors online and scams. And they're talking about that for social media, but there's no reason we can't tag that along for artificial intelligence. You know, making sure that we empower parents to be able to control what their kids are allowed to do with these applications. You can't just have all these companies selling, you know, willy-nilly AI applications to 11-year-old kids. And yeah. Right now there really isn't anything to keep them from doing that.
Wow.
And the same thing around, you know, the elderly, the scam, you know, we have lots of scams that are made much more effective using this technology, especially, interestingly enough, cloning voices, probably more so than video, is, you know, a big danger. You know, I don't answer the phone when I don't recognize a number anymore. You know, somebody can leave me a message because, you know, somebody can tape my voice or clone my voice and use artificial intelligence to try to either sell something legitimate or illegitimate to, you know, my family members, my friends, whomever. So people just have to be careful going forward on these things until we have, you know, some good solid regulations in place. And then the second area is is kind of cloning some of the things that we do in the financial services industry where we don't, you know, where we ask banks to do processes to make sure that terrorist groups, money launderers, and so forth are not infiltrating our banking system. There's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be asking Microsoft and OpenAI and Google and whomever else are selling these applications to do what's called a know your customer check. That's and good. Making sure that they're not selling to, you know, people that shouldn't be having these tools.
It's a good point. Phil Siegel, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a conversation we definitely need to have moving forward. Coming up, we'll talk more about the appointment of a new county prosecuting attorney. Who's right and who's wrong on who's responsible? We'll be back.
Missouri Governor Mike Parson just naming his pick for St. Louis County's next prosecutor, escalating the fight over who should replace Wesley Bell. In recent days, County Executive Sam Page tapped someone else for Bell's job. First Alert 4 Samantha Jones is in the news.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorting through the selection, Sam.
Yeah, first, Cameron, we should tell you about the governor's pick. He selected Melissa Price Smith. This breaking just within the last hour and a half here. Smith, though a Democrat, is also a lifelong resident of St. Louis County. She's worked in the prosecutor's office since 2008.
That is part of Channel 4's report on the announcement yesterday by the governor. And I'm told that a lot of the law enforcement folks are supporting Melissa Price Smith in all of this. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to a legal question, though, and our friend Beavis Shock from Shock Law is on the phone right now. And Beavis, good morning to you.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Hey, great to have you on. Thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. So the question seems to be, you know, I had Mark Harder on the other day, the county councilman. From the county's perspective, they seem to think they've got some sort of a legal leg to stand on, that it should be the county executive that replaces this position. Clearly, the attorney general and the governor disagree. What's your take?
Well, I would say it's a 99% in favor of the governor, 1% in favor of Sam Page. It took about maybe 10 minutes of legal reading and study for me to get a pretty firm answer. This is not a complicated thing.
Yeah, I wonder. No, but what about their argument that there's something about the four or five counties that were that have charter differences or something like that that allow them to make this decision? I didn't quite understand the argument, but they claim it dates back to when Missouri was founded.
So let me give you this sort of three-step analysis. Okay, so the Constitution, that's our framework of government, says the governor shall fill all vacancies in public office. Okay, right, fine, that sounds good. Then there's a statute. That's something passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. That says if any vacancy shall happen in the office of prosecuting attorney, the governor, upon being satisfied that such vacancy exists, shall appoint some competent person to fill the same until the next general election. It's pretty simple. Then so that's step two. Now, the next thing is that apparently the charter, which is the framework of government for the county, says, oh, well, the county executive will replace that person. But the case laws, now, see, the way our game works is that courts interpret conflicts between statutes and the courts get the last word. And it says, when there is a conflict between the provisions of a charter and the general law, the resolution is determined by whether the function is private, local, or governmental. So there are a bunch of cases on the rules about condemning property, and that's considered local. And when there's a conflict, the charter takes control. But the selection of a prosecutor is actually a governmental function. So it's over. Let me give you a little bit more, okay? It says that he's only supposed to make the appointment, the he being the governor, when he's convinced such vacancy exists. So actually, I'm kind of surprised he appointed Melissa Smith already because she's, by the way, a very respected prosecutor. I've been practicing law in 40 years in St. Louis County. Everybody knows Melissa. She's a highly competent, experienced trial lawyer. She knows everything about the office. She will be good. But setting that aside, even though she's a Democrat, it's important to get the idea that there's a 10-day gap in here. Which governor is going to appoint this person? So Wesley Bell vacates on January 3rd. That's the day he takes office as a congressman. Mike Kehoe, our governor-elect, he takes office on January 13th. Now, knowing the way things really work behind the scenes, as I commonly do, there's been a little discussion between Mr. Parson and Mr. Kehoe over which one is going to do it. And obviously, Parson won, or Kehoe said, yeah, Melissa's
fine. Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Because it's I think actually probably Parson has a duty to do it during his 10 days. So, I mean, this couldn't be a more simple thing. Now, there's a legal case pending. I'm assuming that Andrew Bailey, the attorney general who filed the case, it's kind of his job to bring cases like this, has looked all this up as I have. Take about, as I say, 10 minutes of legal research to understand what's going on. Now, the competence in the county counselor's office for asserting that Page has it, that must relate to the idea that that county counselor is a little beholden to Mr. Page for his job or her job, perhaps, just possibly. I don't know, but I don't know why a competent lawyer would say Page has the right to do this.
When you lay it out the way that you just did, it makes sense that Governor Parson would have the ultimate choice in who replaces Bell. But then I wonder about what happened in St. Charles County about a year ago when there was a vacancy and St. Charles County appointed the new prosecutor versus the governor. What was the difference there?
Well, I have no idea what happened on that. Maybe the governor just sort of was asleep that day, or the county executive out there is a guy named Steve Aylman, been there a really long time, highly respected guy. Everybody likes him. He's done a great job running the county's governmental functions. And I always say, hey, remember, the county executive or the president doesn't run the country. All they do is execute the laws. Let's keep that straight. I really don't have an explanation for that. But the idea, well, that's a precedent. Parson didn't do it in St. Charles. He can't do it in St. Louis County.
Right.
That's not going to fly in front of a judge.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I mean,
so,
I think somebody could challenge the appointment of that prosecutor and say, hey, he's not properly appointed. You can't convict me of the murder I just committed because the prosecutor wasn't properly appointed. That might work. I'm going to suggest that to some of my pals who practice criminal law out there.
Do you see this going into the court system, though? I mean,
Page... Oh, yes, it's already there,
yeah.
Mark. It's already there. Case is filed. And I was assuming that Parson hadn't named somebody yet because he wasn't, quote, satisfied a vacancy exists. Because there was no vacancy.
Yeah.
He's supposed to make the... He can name the person, but there's probably... He probably just put it on Twitter or issued a press release, but there's some formal process where he writes on a piece of paper and signs it and all that stuff.
So I guess I'm wondering now, I know court cases can take a long time to play out. What happens on January 3rd then if this is still going through the court system and Wesley Bell heads to Congress?
Well, it's really, I think what will happen is they'll ask for an emergency order, and the trial court judge in St. Louis County will issue a ruling, which I can't imagine will be anything except it's Governor Parson's pick. And then what they'll do is an extreme expedited appeal, and the Court of Appeals will say, oh my gosh, let's do this in one day. File your brief tomorrow, and it'll be done in that manner very, very quickly. Or there'll be no appeal, and the Page will just give up. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine he thinks that he's really has the right to do this. So
you just never know with Sam Page. We'll see what happens
right.
In that particular case. I think really the breaking news here, Kim, is that if you go to shocklaw.com, they bill by the quarter hour because this only took him 10 minutes.
That's 12 minutes would be two twelfths or something.
I'm just checking because I know they don't all do that. You'd get charged a full hour for that 10 minutes of research.
You know, I always do it. I bill by what's called value billing. What's it worth? This is worth a lot.
I love it. Beavis Shock, thanks for your time this morning.
Always fun to chat, Mark. Call me anytime. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Yeah, take care of yourself. Shocklaw.com is the website there if you want to go check him out. All right, so we've been talking, Kim, a lot this morning about things buzzing over our heads like drones. I've just gotten some information that some have been spotted locally, and I'm going to tell you about that when we come back in just a minute. Stay tuned. All right, so there's been all of this talk about the drones over the coast. Right. And Kim, didn't we say earlier, did we see a headline that maybe there have been some spotted in California?
Ooh, maybe.
I thought I saw that earlier on
that
one
was
of the
on Fox News
Fox
headlines.
Network's reports here earlier, which makes you, you know, maybe it's not nefarious. We really don't know what it is. But what we do know from a common sense perspective is that drones are used now by terrorists overseas to launch attacks. We've seen it by Hezbollah. They've used drones against ships and everything out there. The technology is pretty advanced on some of this stuff, which is why there's reason for concern.
Absolutely.
Now, up until a few minutes ago, I had not heard any reports of drones being spotted here in the greater St. Louis area. But this morning, this did come into me, and I'm gonna read it to you verbatim. Actually, it was sent to Sue Thomas, who forwarded it on over to me. Wanted to get this message to Mark on the morning show since he was talking about drones. This is from a guy named Jeff. I drive past Scott Air Force Base every morning on the way to work in St. Louis. About 5:20 this morning, I noticed a big drone hovering over the interstate at the Shiloh I-64 intersection by Lebanon, Illinois. It wasn't a helicopter, and it was probably about half the size of my car, if I had to guess. Just some information. I was hoping maybe somebody else noticed it as well. I'm not sure how anybody could have missed it if they were driving through there at that time. And, you know, so this is the first report I've heard from an eyewitness who claims they saw a drone somewhere in the area of Scott Air Force Base. Now, near an Air Force base, there could be a lot of reasons for that. For all I know, the security people at the Air Force Base use drones to patrol that area. They know when planes are coming in or out. They know how to control that airspace. Maybe there's a good explanation for
it. But if there's nothing nefarious going on with all of these drones, whatever they are, manned aircraft is what they're suggesting now, this is being talked about by everybody. Why would the person then not come out and say, hey, I'm the one behind these. Don't worry, I'm not doing anything weird. Yeah. And to even further the whole nefarious comment, why would they be flying over military areas? Why would they be trailing a Coast Guard boat? And why would they be flying at night? Only at night, it seems.
Yeah.
In Connecticut, New Jersey, and now potentially Missouri.
Well, potentially.
And California.
Or Southern Illinois there by Scott Air Force Base.
Oh, that's right. I mean, I'm sorry, Illinois.
Potentially, that could be it. I mean, I don't, again, until one of them is on the ground and you can actually examine it, sort of like a Chinese spy balloon, you don't really know the answer to that, do you?
For the government to sit out there and tell us, oh, it's not anyone, you know, foreign agents. If we don't know who's operating these, then how can you definitively make that comment that we're
not
in danger?
Remember how the city freaked out when they talked about some private company putting them up over a park for security reasons?
To deter criminals, because it would shine a spotlight on them and I think could even yell at them.
Yeah. You could even talk through it, sort of like your Ring doorbell. Hello?
Get off the lawn!
What do you want?
I see you trying to steal that bike. Put that down.
Yeah, you know it. You know that is a possibility. I don't know. I just thought I'd pass that along since Jeff sent that in this morning. There could be plenty of good excuses as to what that was, but more and more of these reports will come in now that people are looking up and wondering.
I'm just not buying that, because if there's so much talk about these drones and the sketchiness about them, then why would somebody, in this case, Scott Air Force Base, not say, hey, heads up, I'm going to be flying this over this area at this time? Yeah. It's just weird. It's not adding up. And I think the federal government knows more than they're telling us, and they're lying to us.
These things are not cheap either, because the small ones are, you can get a knockoff for a little bit of nothing, but the ones that are quality drones cost a lot of money. I mean, if one of them does get blown out of the sky and you didn't bother to tell somebody it had a legitimate reason for being there, it's going to be expensive to repair.
They're saying these drones in some cases are the size of SUVs.
I know. He said it was half the size of his car, the one
That's
he saw
wild.
This morning.
Wild.
Just crazy is what it is. By the way, if you missed the breaking news that we've been reporting on, Kim's been had it in the news all morning. I started to tease this yesterday morning at about this time. There's been a break in the Colin Brown case, the CBC student who was killed by a stray bullet on the interstate. I've been told by several sources that suspects are in custody. Federal charges are probably pending in this case. And it was fantastic detective work that broke the case, like something you'd watch in a TV show kind of thing, because the leads were far and few and far between, I guess is the way to say that. I've told there may be some videotape that helped in some way. but it was good old-fashioned police work that kind of helped break this thing. And now we're waiting to see when the police are going to announce it. As of yesterday, the chief was still kind of hedging his bets on this, but it looks like at least one of the individuals involved has had past run-ins with the police and maybe even the feds. I don't know. I think that's probably why the federal government will get involved in this, because the sentence would be a lot stiffer for this murder charge and less likely to get any leniency by a local court.
I'm just so happy that there's been arrests in this case, and obviously it sounds like we'll learn a lot more hopefully soon.
Justice will be served for this family after what they've been through. I just, you know, as a parent, you just can't imagine how horrible this must have been. And then to be told, well, if it was just random, we may never know who did it. And now we find out that thanks to some great police work by the St. Louis City Police Department, it looks like they're going to bring these people to justice, and couldn't be any happier about that. Hats off to all of you in law enforcement out there for your hard work.
Yeah, thank goodness.
We can't say that often enough. All right, stay tuned. We're going to get to the Brian Kilmeade Show coming up here shortly. Hopefully Brian's voice sounds a lot better than mine. I listened to him a little bit on Fox this morning, so he does. And maybe by Monday, Kim, maybe.
Let's hope, Mark. I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'll be over this thing. Whatever it is has gripped my throat and won't let go. Or maybe it'll tighten itself. I don't know. But Annie and Mark will be up for you later today. And have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.